Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning up here in Fort Collins. The sun is shining. That wind has died down. We got a lot of outdoor stuff to talk about. We're going to be kind of all over the place today. We're still going to talk a lot of ice fishing because that's the real hot topic right now. But we're going to talk some fly fishing, too, with folks from Blue Quill Angler. We're going to talk about eagles and bats. How about that being opposite ends of the spectrum today, where you can go see them and how to interact with them? That'll be kind of fun. And Chad LaChance is going to join us in the second hour, and he's going to talk to us about how to pick out a boat. With boating season, will be on us quicker than we think. They're having kind of a quasi-boat show at the dealers around the Denver area the Front Range area this weekend, so we'll pick up a little bit on that, and we just have a lot to cover. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. A lot of times we preview what we're going to do on the show here, and then I post a lot of the podcasts from the interviews we do on the show on our Facebook and our YouTube channel. Those of you into ice fishing, we have so much ice fishing on our YouTube channel that was filmed right here in Colorado that'll help you out. And we have fly fishing, we have conventional fishing, walleye fishing, bass fishing. It's about 150 episodes on our YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom. So Facebook is Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, and YouTube is The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom. But right now, let's go right to the phones. And joining us from the Blue Quill Angler is Chris Steinbeck. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Terry. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well, and I'm looking out the window. And after that wind that blew especially, a lot of the Front Range ice kind of got, I'm going to talk about that later in the show, but it kind of, the conditions changed and there's some safety factors there. But on the flip side of the fly fishing, that warm wind and now a couple warmer days, and, you know, even any winter, there are just fly fishing opportunities in Colorado. You really shouldn't put the long rods away in the winter, should you?
No, the wintertime offers fantastic fly fishing. And a lot of times, many of our guides in our shop and other people in the industry, we love fishing in the wintertime. The chance to get away from some of the crowds and standing in a river. And even when the weather gets a little bad and starts snowing a little bit, there's something so peaceful just about being on the water.
Well, I shared a story with you when we were talking earlier in the week how one time on the Big Thompson, I went fishing. I was actually filming a television show. It had been 20 below the weekend before. And it warmed up to above zero, 20 above, something like that. I was on the tailwater stretch of the Big Thompson, and the fish were just stacked in one hole. And, well, there was more than one hole, but there would be virtually like hundreds of fish in a hole. I would never have had to take a step, because even when you caught a fish, you didn't spook them because there were so many of them. But we did move up and down the river. But those phenomena do happen quite common in the winter, isn't it?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And what happens is in the wintertime, those fish, their metabolism slows down, so they're not eating every day. And so they're not going to be sitting in really fast currents. So a lot of times in the winter months, our tactics change from where we fish in the river, where, you know, for the next couple, 2-3 months, we're really going to be focusing on the slower, the deeper water. And just like what you were talking about in your story, there's times in those deeper pockets where those fish will pot up and they'll stack in there pretty hard. And, you know, that's generally a pretty good rule of thumb in the wintertime, is try to find the slower, the deeper water. And that goes for most every river you fish here in Colorado.
Well, let's talk about where you're hearing about the fishing, and then let's maybe get into some presentations. And then I want to talk a little fly tying with you. So first of all, what are you hearing around the state as far as opportunities?
Yeah, we actually have some really good fishing going on right now. We've heard really, really strong reports out of Silverthorne on the Blue River. I know that river was recently stocked, and there's some beautiful big fish in there. Silverthorne on the Blue River, always a great, reliable winter fishery. In terms of the South Platte, the flows are starting to increase a little bit higher up in the drainage. And so, like the Dream Stream, you're sitting at about 115 CFS, which is a great wintertime flow. And anglers going out there, definitely going to find some great fish in there. obviously South Park, it's a little exposed. It's so you want to pick a good weather day and not freeze out there. But one of the stronger reports we've been hearing as well is up in 11 Mile Canyon. In 11 Mile Canyon, such a beautiful canyon, great place to fish the South Platte. That fish in the flows are about 150 cubic feet per second, and that is awesome right now. And so I'd highly recommend there. Lower down on the drainage below Cheeseman, as you're talking Cheeseman Canyon, the Deckers area, those flows are still really low. Those flows drop down to about 50 cubic feet per second. And so the fishing is going to be, you'll find really good fish, but it's not going to be as productive as it would be if you go up to like the Dream Stream or 11 Mile Canyon, or even right now up on the Blue River.
So how do you approach these? Do you approach those different rivers differently because they're maybe a little different water temperature, a little different flow, or do you have kind of a mindset when you approach these winter tailwaters that you start with?
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Terry. So traditionally, we have a mindset in the wintertime where, you know, in terms of the bugs that are active in the water where the fish are keying in on, it's really down to one species called a midge. And a midge is just a really small insect. And so the flies we're generally throwing in the wintertime are really small midges. Generally, rivers with really low flows, you want to go a little small on your flies. And I'm talking size 22s and 24s, which are tiny. And blood midges. Blood midges are just a staple in the wintertime. They stand out a little bit. You know, obviously, big fan of red colors in the water, and blood midges are great. So typically, that's our tactics. We try to go smaller, and that's whether you're on the South Platte or the Blue or any other river here or tailwater in Colorado. Right now, those fish are pretty much keying in on those little small midges. But having said all that,
go ahead.
No, sorry about that, Terry. But having said that, it's always a great idea, too, to think outside the box. And so sometimes drifting a leech right now or a big bug or slowly stripping a streamer off the bottom, something that you know, you don't want to go too fast with your retrieve, but something just a little different that could really spice up your fishing day and get you into a couple more fish.
Well, I couldn't agree more, because I think when you go like that streamer especially, you're getting that reaction bite. You know, they're feeding on the bugs, but sometimes no matter what the conditions, this is true in fly fishing and in conventional fishing, sometimes if the fishing is slow, going to a bigger, faster presentation sometimes just gets a reaction. It's like they don't have time to think about it. They just react, and that can be quite effective a lot of times. A fly fisherman that I've had the privilege of fishing with quite a bit, when he fishes these under an indicator, which I assume is what you're doing with these midges, he has gotten away from using weight. He uses all tungsten flies, and if he has to add one heavier fly to get it down, he just likes, because it's so slow in the winter, to keep it natural. How do you approach that?
I think that's a great, great tactic right there. You know, a lot of times we're throwing, just like you said, nymphs under an indicator, and if you have too heavy of a weight, your flies don't drift naturally down the river with the current. And this time of year, it is so imperative to try to get your flies going the same speed. And so just like the guy you were mentioning, sometimes if you have too much of a weight or split shot on there, this time of year when you're focusing on fishing that really slow water, that's almost too much. And so if you drop that weight down, your flies are a little bit more of a free drift or a natural presentation to the fish, and they'll respond way more to that.
Now let's switch gears a little bit. A lot of people just don't really want to brave the cold to get out fly fishing, and that's fine. And fly fishing has an aspect to it that gives you lots to do in the winter, and that's fly tying. Are you seeing a lot of guys coming in? With all the new people into fishing, are you seeing a lot of new fly tiers?
Oh, we are. And it's so much fun here at the shop to talk about it with the new people getting into it. We're starting to run a lot of our classes right now where we teach a lot of people how to fly tie. And it is, it's just a fun way to pass time, great way to build your box. And it really gives people who fly fish a fundamental understanding of the bugs they're trying to represent when they fish. And so there's a lot of good things that come from fly tying, and this is the season for it right now.
Well, you know, you get that kind of that feeling of, I tied this fly, and then I went and caught a fish on it. And that's pretty neat, especially if you may be struggling. Normally, I go through with you when we talk about beginning fly fishing, about the equipment, but we've covered that. We can mention it again. But I want to take a different tack. Somebody comes in, they're new to fly tying. Do you recommend any particular flies that they start with that maybe get them down the path to both getting a little confidence and also understanding some of the different techniques in tying?
Yeah. So I think if you really start getting into fly tying, you want to focus on trying to tie flies that you think you're going to fish. And one of the great patterns to really learn is called a pheasant tail. And a pheasant tail in fly fishing is a classic standard fly. I've been around for a long, long time, and it's always going to catch fish. But starting with a fly like a pheasant tail teaches you how to tie different proportions in the body and using different materials. And it's a good fly to start off, because then every other pattern after that is going to be relatively easy to tie.
Now, how much does it cost if I want to get into tying, but I don't want to, I'm not sure how serious I'm going to be, but you and I both know that some of the biggest mistakes people make is they really buy discount equipment and it doesn't work right. And it's just like buying an instrument. I play guitar, and if you try to teach somebody on a really cheap, bad guitar, they get frustrated. So let's say that, what do you think you need to spend and what do you need to get started?
I think you could get a really quality setup with everything you need, getting you the materials to tie several different patterns. We have a setup that goes right at about $100. It's got a great vise, comes with the materials, comes with hooks to tie on. And we do we piece together a lot of kits for people too, depending on the flies that they really want to focus on tying. And so generally speaking, Terry, you're about $100 to $125 will get you a setup that's really good, something that's never going to become obsolete on you, and start a hobby that's super addicting.
Oh, yeah, it is. It really is. Last question. Tell me what you've got going on for guide trips and classes.
So we're still running our guide trips right now. We run a discounted rate all winter long. We do both public waters all over the South Platte and up north Colorado and the Blue River. We do private water guide trips right now, too. We have some sweet new leases outside of Bailey that are getting incredible, incredible reviews. And then we're running our fly tying program, usually about weekly classes on Wednesday nights. And then we start our introduction program, where we start getting people into fishing and start getting them in the water again, in about the end of March.
All right. If people need to find you, Chris, where do they find you? How do they find Blue Quill Angler?
You can find us on our website at www.bluequillangler.com, or give us a call up here at the shop. Number is 303-674-4700. And you could call with questions on fly tying or fishing reports or anything we can do to help you out and help get you into fish. Give us a call. It's what we're here for.
All right, my friend, we've got to run, but thank you so much for joining us. As always, great information, Chris.
Hey, Terry, thank you so much. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. That's Chris Steinbeck from the Blue Quill Angler. Great people. You know, Pat Dorsey's up there. You just know those people. Just quality people who will take care of you. If you're looking for a guide trip or a class, might be a great place to start. Just go to bluequillangler.com. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to talk about bats. And do you have to worry about bats and COVID? That and so much more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.